pray without what? Ceasing. Some of you might have wondered, this year in your registration packet, we did not include a scripture packet like we have in past years. And that's because this year at camp, there's only one retimery verse, and this is it. You know how sometimes if people are asked for a retimery, they'll say, Jesus wept, or, well, this is our one camp retimery this year, and let's all say it together. Pray without ceasing. Very simple to read, very simple to retimerize. But we're going to take a look a little bit at the implications of this verse and how we're to practically apply it in our lives. When I was raised, I don't know about you, prayer was not really a very vital activity in my upbringing. Our family, every once in a while, prayed at the meal times. We had a kind of a grace that we would say repeatedly. You know, sometimes, not very often, I'd pray at bedtime. I was, you know, my parents would pray with us every once in a while, but not very much. I was basically raised in a pagan household. The one time in my childhood that I would pray is when I got in trouble. But prayer was something that was really not a part of my life. When I got into the ministry, it became more a part of my life. Because as I'd go to fellowship meetings, we'd pray together. And that was a new thing. And at first, I was very nervous that someone might call on me to pray out loud. But I started to pray. And particularly, there was a raising of my appreciation of prayer when I learned how to pray in the Spirit by speaking in tongues. And I learned to start praying upon certain endeavors, like, you know, to pray when you get in the car and take a long trip. You know, sometimes before the start of classes or different things, we would pray. So it was an increased understanding. When we started doing these camps, one of the things that was growth for me was we started, and still do to this day, started to pray for every one of the campers in the morning by name, which in this camp, there's, I think, about 180 of us. And so we gathered this morning, and a few of us prayed for all of you, every one of you. And we actually, our pilot council have been doing that for a few months now. And that was quite a raising of my appreciation of prayer and my involvement in prayer to God. But in this recent time, we've started to work and gain a greater appreciation of this particular verse, of pray without ceasing. What exactly is that referring to? It would seem to indicate that prayer is something that we can continually be involved with. That it's not just something first thing in the morning. It's not just something at fellowship. It's not just something before getting in your car to take a long trip. It's not just something for a wonderful event like family camp, but that it's a continual activity. So to understand how that could be with all the other activities that we're involved with in our lives, well, we have to go to God's Word to see what God's Word says. The word pray here is the basic word in the New Testament. It's the verb form here, the noun which prayer is the word prosuke. And to understand prayer, a lot of understanding can come from understanding that one Greek word. The word prosuke literally means to utter towards or utter in the direction of. We could translate it very wonderfully to talk with, to speak towards, and of course it's referring to God. To pray, very simply, is to converse with God. It's to talk with God. It's to speak towards Him. Now, if we're going to converse with God, that conversation is certainly not meant to be just simply a one-way conversation. If something's just one way, you're just expressing. But if you're conversing there certainly is an exchange. And as we'll see throughout this week, that's prayer. Our definition of prayer, a wonderful definition of prayer, is our continual conversation with God. Prosuke. Look at 1 Timothy chapter 2. Now, our conversation with God is to be without ceasing. In other words, continual. There's a number of other verses that we're going to look at throughout the Word of God that confirm this, that reinforce it, that give us added light as far as the constancy of prayer. 1 Timothy chapter 2, it says, verse 1, I exhort therefore that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for who? All men. This verse gives us added information of the constancy of prayer. First thing that it mentions is that we're to pray first of all. For some people, prayer has been more of a last resort. That was certainly what I understood and knew in my childhood, is really the only time I'd pray was when I was in trouble. Sometimes it takes people getting to the end of their rope before they're willing to tie a knot and look upward. But here it says that we're to pray first of all. Do you see the priority of that? That first of all, pray. You know, not as a last resort, not as just a secondary activity, but first of all, pray. And then it says that we're to pray for all men. Is there anyone that would be excluded from all men? Perhaps we can understand that in this camp, we're to pray for all of us. You know, as you encounter a saint and have a conversation or do activities together, you can also pray for them. As you see the staff of Camp Sierra around or the other people that might visit, we can pray for them. As you walk through your day, you encounter people all the time, don't you? Well, 1 Timothy says we're to pray for all men. There's no one that's excluded. It means that every person that we encounter, it's the potential opportunity to pray for them. Do you see how it kind of can raise our appreciation? It can raise the bar as far as how constant an activity prayer is to be. It's our continual conversation with God. And then it gives some specifics of these all men, verse 2. For kings. Now, we don't have a king in the United States, praise the Lord, but we have a president. You know, we have other higher officials. And for all that are in authority. You know, all that are in authority is quite a wide range of people. That we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. You know, evidently, the quality of life that we can live, the quietness, the peaceableness of it, is tied to our prayer life. And then verse 3, for this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. Verse 1 speaks of praying for all men, and the will of God is that all men be what? Saved. So that's what we're to pray for. Do you know people that are not saved? Well, you know what God's will is? Is that you pray for them that they be saved. And you know something? You can have the full assurance that when you pray that prayer, that that's a prayer that God will hear and answer because it's His will. Now, what about the people that you know that are saved? Yeah, pray for them to come into a full, accurate knowledge of the truth. That's certainly a prayer that we should pray for each other. So 1 Timothy speaks about praying first of all. Look at 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, the first three words of this verse say, finally, brethren, what? Pray. Now you put that together with 1 Timothy. First of all, pray. And finally, what? Pray. We're going to see, but guess what we're to be doing in between? See, continually pray. And here it says, finally, brethren, pray for us that the word of the Lord may have free course and be glorified even as it is with you. And additionally pray that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men, for all men have not faith, or all men have not the right way of believing. That's evident. See, so we are to pray for the Word of God to have free course to move, and also for protection from those unreasonable and wicked men who don't believe God's Word. Look at 1 Timothy chapter 2 again. In verse 8 it says, I will therefore that men pray, and then what are the next words? Everywhere. Again, is there any location that would be excluded from that? You know, I love that we have a house of prayer here at Family Camp, and I think it'll be a wonderful part of our camp. But we certainly wouldn't want to get in our minds that it takes getting to a certain location that there we would pray. Here it says pray where? Everywhere. As you're driving in the car, pray. You know, as you're walking through the course of your day, pray. Everywhere. And part of it is that we can pray for the place that we are. Like as we're here, we pray for Camp Sierra. I've learned in my community as I go through my day to pray for my community. There's a particular part of town of Stockton that's rather unsavory. It's, you know, Quentin's smiling, he knows. In South Stockton, it's just, you know, not nice. So I've started doing a little more of my banking and a little more of my business affairs downtown so that as I drive through there, I can pray for the place. Just to see it be bettered. That God's will is that we would pray everywhere. How about Philippians chapter 4? In verse 6, it says, be careful or be anxious for nothing. You ever get anxious? You ever have cares? Yeah. But here it says, be anxious for nothing. Well, how can you live that way? How can that happen? Well, it says, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto who? God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Verses 6 and 7 are a wonderful transaction. And the transaction is trading your anxiety for peace. Now, I would say that's a good transaction. Wouldn't you? That's a good trade. You know, I know throughout baseball history, there's certain trades that have been, I think the Dodgers years ago, they traded Pedro Martinez for this guy named, you can barely remember it, but Devon DeShields or something like, some guy you never heard of. Pedro Martinez, one of the great pitchers of our day and time, traded for this nobody. That was a good trade. I would say trading our anxiety for peace is a great trade. And you know how we do that? By praying. Do you ever have things that bug you? You know, things that are causes for anxiety, just things that bother you. Well, just thinking about those things doesn't better your lot. But to take those thoughts and turn them into prayers does. I realized as we were preparing for camp, there were a number of things in my life that had just been bothering me. You know, things that were, you know, just not working right. Things that, you know, maybe relations with different people or certain things that were just bothersome. And so I've tried to develop the habit, whenever those things come to mind, instead of just letting them bother me, to pray for them. See, it talks about casting all your care upon Him, for He cares for you. It's a great trade to make, to trade your anxieties, to trade your cares, to trade your burdens for God's solutions. And part of that is God's great peace. But again, here it says, pray in everything. How about Philippians chapter 1? In verse 3, it says, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine for you all, making request with what? Joy. You know, the Apostle Paul wasn't just saying this, you know, and then not practicing it. Because remember, this is divine revelation. You know, God's Word confirms that this was something that the Apostle Paul was practicing. That every time he remembered the church at Philippi, what did he do? He prayed for them. See? You know, we can develop the discipline of mind that every time we think of people, whoever it is, whether it's family members, whether it's friends, whether it's fellow workers, whether it's people that we are not very well acquainted with, but that upon thinking of them, remembering them, that we pray for them. How about Ephesians chapter 6? It says, verse 18, praying every once in a while with a little bit of prayer and supplication in the Spirit and forgetting thereunto. No, what does it say? Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, referring to speaking in tongues. And watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for who? All saints. You know, all saints. Now, I don't know all of the saints, but there's a lot of saints that I do know. In fact, recently, I tried to make a list of all the saints that I know. And you guys are on my list. It's a big list. You know, and then I remember a lot of other people that I know. It's a big list. And I've been endeavoring, you know, to pray for my list. It takes some time. I mean, you know, not just moments, but I mean, it's a commitment. But to pray for all saints. How many saints? You know? I mean, just the saints in your local area. You know, start there, but a lot of others. The Apostle Paul had the discipline to pray upon every remembrance for the saints that he knew. Well, I'm sure that I don't know nearly the number of saints the Apostle Paul knew, but I know some, so do you, and we can pray for each other. It's a tremendous privilege. It's also a tremendous responsibility. How about Psalm 5? We've talked about praying first of all, praying finally, praying everywhere, praying in everything, upon every remembrance, praying always, praying for all saints, for all men. Well, Psalm 5 speaks of prayer. You know, a wonderful thing to do is to read the book of Psalms and look for prayer. And specifically, one thing that you can do as you read Psalms is a lot of the Psalms are prayers. They are prayers unto God. Some of the Psalms are directed to people, but many of the Psalms are speaking to God. In Psalm 5, it says, "Give ear to my words, O Lord, consider my meditation." You know, this is a prayer. Verse 2, "Hearken unto the voice of my cry, my King and my God, for unto thee will I pray. My voice shall thou hear when? In the morning, O Lord. In the morning will I direct my prayer unto thee and will look up." So the psalmist prayed in the morning. How about Psalm 55? In verse 17, let's read verse 16. It says, "As for me, I will call upon God, and the Lord shall save me. Evening and morning and at noon will I pray and cry aloud, and he shall hear my voice." So prayer is not just to be something we start our day with. Here it speaks of praying evening and morning. Isn't that a figure of speech that's used at the very beginning of the Bible, evening and morning, to represent 24 hours? You know, the evening and the morning were the first day of 24 hours. Here it speaks of praying evening and morning. And at what? Noon. Look at Luke chapter 2. Here's an example of one that prayed. Luke chapter 2, verse 36. It says, "There was one Anna, a prophetess, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. She was of great age and had lived with an husband 7 years from her virginity." Now, 7 years from her virginity, I'm not sure exactly how old that would make her. Maybe, let's say, 20. You know, if she was married young like the Eastern custom was, you know, let's say she's 20, 21. 7 years from her virginity, she was married. And then it says, "And she was a widow of about 84 years. So she'd been widowed for 84 years. Do the math. She was of great age, "which departed not from the temple, but served God with fastings and" what? "Prayers, night and day." Earlier we read about evening and morning. Here it says night and day. This woman is over 100 years old, but yet she is actively, very actively, involved in serving God. And how did she serve God? In fastings and prayers. You know, the older we get, we might lose some of the physical vitality. But for me, I see hope in this verse. You know, as you get older, you can serve God in fastings and prayer. Boy, you know, a good thing about that is you don't have to get up. You can just... What a wonderful record. You know, whether there was anybody in Israel or even in the temple area that would have recognized Anna, but you know who recognized Anna? God. Because that's who she was speaking to continually, night and day. She was praying. What a wonderful example of prayer. The greatest example of prayer, of course, is the Lord Jesus Christ. Look at Mark chapter 1. In the Psalms, we talked about praying in the morning, praying at night, praying at noon. Well, Jesus Christ did that. It says in verse 35 of Mark chapter 1, "And in the morning, rising up a great while before day, he," Jesus Christ, "went out and departed into a solitary place, and there," what? "Prayed." You know, a great while before daybreak, before sunrise, Jesus Christ got up so that he could pray. Look at Luke chapter 6. In verse 12, it says, "And it came to pass in those days that he went out into a mountain to," what? "Pray, and continued all night in prayer to God." And he prayed all through the night, all the way until daybreak. You know, I used to read this verse, and it was just way beyond my comprehension. You know, of how somebody could pray all night. You know, just wondering, well, what in the heck would he be praying for? But stop and consider what we've looked at. You know, when God says to pray for all men, you know, to pray for all that are in authority, pray for all saints, to pray in everything, to cast all of our cares upon him, you know, to be anxious for nothing. You know, if we are going to fulfill those verses, if we're going to really take this direction of God to heart, we need to make time to pray and take time to pray. Jesus Christ took all night to pray before he made this monumental decision of selecting the 12 apostles. Look at Acts chapter 2. You know, his disciples, his apostles, observed his prayer life. They saw him take the time, make the time to pray. You remember, though, that in the Garden of Gethsemane, when he asked Peter, James, and John to come with him and pray with him, right before he gave himself over for his torture and ultimate crucifixion, that those guys, you know, couldn't keep up with him. They couldn't really participate because they fell asleep. You know, they just weren't there yet. But those men had their lives changed, of course, on the day of Pentecost. And it's very interesting to note that in this great Acts chapter 2, it says in verse 41, the inception of the church, "And they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day were added unto them about 3,000 souls. And they continued," how? "Steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine," the word of God, "and fellowship, and in breaking of bread," and in what? Prayers. They continued steadfastly. That's the word continually. See, they continued continually. Steadfastly in prayers. You know, before in the Gospels, they observed one who continued steadfastly in prayers, Jesus Christ. But you know what? Now they were doing it. You know, it's interesting because one of the great promises of the Gospels is that the works that Jesus Christ did, we shall do also, and greater works than these shall we do. You know, when they continued steadfastly in prayer now, they, of course, prayed with their understanding, but they also had a whole new way to pray. Because when they received the gift of Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost, what did they initially do? They began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. You know, maybe the idea of praying with our understanding without ceasing seems daunting. But you know what we can do? Is that we can also pray, and that prayer in the Spirit bypasses our understanding, that we don't have to understand what we're praying for. Even as I'm teaching, you can be speaking in tongues. You can be praying in the Spirit and still understanding what I'm saying to you. They continued steadfastly in prayers. What a wonderful ability the new birth gives us. That like Jesus Christ did, he could pray with his understanding, and he did continually. But we can also do even greater works than he did because we can pray in the Spirit. 1 Corinthians chapter 14. In verse 14 of 1 Corinthians 14, it says, "For if I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays, but my understanding is what? Unfruitful. What is it then? I will pray with the Spirit, and I will pray with the understanding also. I will sing with the Spirit, and I will sing with the understanding also." For us to pray without ceasing, we have to commit ourselves by the freedom of our will. We have to will to pray with our understanding. We also have to will to pray with the Spirit. This is not something that's automatic. This is not something that every Christian will do. It's really a very, very high thing to attain to. Our theme throughout this week, pray without ceasing. To have a continual conversation with God. You know, God wants us to bring everything to Him. Our cares, our concerns, our thoughts, our questions, our requests, our love, our worship, our thanksgiving, our praise. He wants us to bring everything to Him. That's prayer. He wants to talk things over with his kids. That's prayer. He wants to be a part of our lives. But you know, God has set the great principle of freedom of will, and he never oversteps that. For him to be involved in our day-by-day living, for him to be involved in our lives and our endeavors and whatever we're involved with, it requires us inviting him. Us wanting him, us going to him, us praying to him. Otherwise, he's just waiting. He's not changing. He's desiring. But every time we come to him, he's there. Because our God is the good God who hears and answers prayer. He wants us to talk things over on a continual basis. Now, when I first started working, Mike and I first started working this particular theme, I started to think of pray without ceasing as being something that I must do continuously. And I started to realize that there were times where I did not pray. And I was doing other things. And I started to wonder, well, is that wrong? I got my answer from a verse in Luke chapter 11, and we'll conclude here. Because certainly if we want to look to one as an example of prayer, it's the Lord Jesus Christ. Luke chapter 11. It says in verse 1, "And it came to pass that as he," the Lord Jesus Christ, "was praying in a certain place, when he," what? "Ceased, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray as John also taught his disciples. So Jesus Christ was praying, and then he, what? Ceased. You know, I had a hard time with that because God's Word says pray without, what? Ceasing. Well, the understanding is very, very simple. Prayer is to be our continual conversation with God. It's not to be our continuous conversation of God. Are there other times that you need to apply your mind and heart to other things? Of course. But in everything, pray. When you're at work, do what? Pray. Great thing to do. Boy, when you open the Bible to read it, pray. You know, open my eyes, Father, that I may behold wondrous things from thy word. Boy, when you're with people, pray for them. But it's not to be our continuous conversation with God. That would be impossible. You know, here the Lord Jesus Christ ceased from praying, and then you know what he started doing? Teaching God's Word. He taught them how to pray. So we're to continually, in everything, steadfastly, day and night, in between, first of all, finally, pray. We're to converse with our loving Heavenly Father. And as we'll see through this week, that conversation is not a one-way street. That conversation is two-way, with God also blessing us with needed information, needed encouragement, His great love and presence in our life. So what a wonderful theme for the week. Your one retimery is pray without ceasing.